Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. If the economy's moving, truckers know it early. And for real, they carry almost everything you touch. We see the big rigs whoosh by on the highway. Everyone has a driver, a trucker, watching the life of this country, coast to coast. Over the years, we've had so many call in on every topic under the sun. Today, we're looking at their world, out their windows. This hour, On Point, truckers and the view from the big rig. You can join the conversation, truckers. We know you're out there. How's the economy, the country, looking to you these days? And non-truckers, what's your question for the guys, the gals in the big rigs? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We've got truckers writing in to us already, even before the show starts. Let me just give you a little sense of the trucker's view of the world. This is from Vic. Look, sounds like he's been driving for a long time. He says, first, what does he see from his big rig? That decline in manufacturing in the American economy that we all know about. But also a high-tech manufacturing coming back, and some springing up in the South, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. He sees how much of the interior of this country, Vic writes to us, is underserved compared with the big metro areas, just less of everything. Vic sees from his big rig some small towns that have tried to keep their small individual businesses, but others, he writes, that are almost 100% now outposts of corporate America. He sees the increase in the Latino population of the country, so many Mexican food establishments. He says, finally but not least, from the windows of his big rig, just how beautiful this country is. And he writes, and I mean every state of the lower 48, not just during the day, but also truckers get to see it at night and in all kinds of weather. Just a little bit of the view out the windows of one big rig. And this from Vic writing into us, trucking is a solitary experience. So to be successful, you need to get things done yourself. The experience, he writes, increases your sense of self-reliance as well as independence. You need to be comfortable in your own skin. Vic Volpe, thanks for writing in with that. We've had so many truckers call in over the years, and we really value that on-the-road view of the world. In just a moment, we're going to hear more of it, but I want to start today with a little lesson on the trucking industry and its role in the economy. Joining us right now from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is Noel Perry at Transport Fundamentals. He's one of the country's only trucking economists. Noel, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
How many trucks and how many truckers out there?
There's a whole bunch. If you include people that drive part-time, things like construction, it's over 2.4 million. It's the second largest occupation in the country after school teaching.
And what about trucking as a barometer of the nation's economy, just for starters?
Well, if you count the loads that we generate in this economy in a year, about 90% move by truck. And that spreads across all businesses. So if trucking is strong, then the economy, particularly the manufacturing part of the economy, has to be strong because they are so closely intertwined.
What does trucking tell us right now then, Noel, about how the economy is
doing?
Well,
it says that the manufacturing part of the economy has done quite well. This upturn has been stronger than the last upturn in both manufacturing and trucking. It's not a record, but it is definitely stronger than we had last time.
What about who's up in those cabs and who owns the trucks that we see? What percentage of truckers these days work for themselves, are owner-operators? What percentage work for big corporate fleets of trucks? How's that break down?
Well, about 25% work for very large fleets. About 25% are either work for one other guy or own their own trucks, and everybody else is in the middle. It's a fairly spread out industry when you compare it to other things in our economy.
Spread out in terms of who's working for themselves and who's working for the big corporation.
There's a lot of small business in trucking. And it has not changed much. When I started in this industry 35 years ago, people were predicting that the big guys would take over, and they haven't.
We're going to hear much more. We're going to go straight to a trucker in Tennessee in just a moment, but we've got a lot of calls coming in already from big rigs out there in the world. Roger is calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Roger, thanks for calling. Well, what do you know?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm well. Are you a trucker, Roger?
Yes, sir. Right now I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and I was just telling the screener earlier that I have a lot of conversations with customers as far as the commodity that we're shipping, and the common conversation is we can recently recall when we weren't this busy, and now look at the different products that we're shipping, and it was it looks like the economy's recovering, and then as well, I do these companies that do a lot of conferences at conventions and things like that.
Yep.
And that's a real good sign that the economy is getting better, because a lot of those guys are busy now. They have a huge inventory of audio video sitting on shelves, and now they're like, we can't keep this stuff. You know, it's always out in every, venue. So,
Roger, what are you carrying in your load this time?
Excuse me?
What are you carrying? What's your truck full of today?
Well, I came from Denver, Colorado, from the brewery, Budweiser Brewery, and I switched the load right here in Albuquerque with a driver. We're from Montana Travelers of Peoria, and that driver traded a load of pizza boxes. So I'm taking the pizza boxes back to Denver. He's taking the beer to Phoenix Hensley the Hensley Brewery Beverage Distributors.
Know it well. Beer and pizza boxes. I appreciate your call from Albuquerque, truck driver Roger, and be safe there. Thank you so much for calling us. I want to bring another truck driver straight in here now. Noel Perry, please stand by there in Harrisburg. Willie Ugly Tessier, excuse me, joins us from Rogersville, Tennessee, longtime big rig driver, our king of the road with us today, just in from an overnight haul to Georgia. Mr. Tessier, I hesitate to call you ugly. Thank you for being with us.
Well, everybody calls me ugly. In fact, if you don't call me ugly half the time, I don't know you're talking to me.
All right. Well, we'll stick with Tessier, or maybe just a little bit of ugly. How long have you been driving, Willie?
22 years.
And what kind of paths and routes and where in this country?
I pretty much run all of the lower 48 and some Canada. I've hauled everything from reefers. Last 10 years or so, I've been running chemicals, hazmat loads.
Hazmat load. Does it put an extra pressure on you when you've got that tons of that behind you on the highway, or is it just work?
Oh, it puts more pressure on you. Pay a lot of attention to what's going on around you. We haul a lot of stuff like products. Anything that's made out of plastic, we haul the plastic types and the chemicals that dissolve them and mix them in paint, solvents. Just about anything you use, there's some kind of chemical involved.
Mr. Tessier, what's your sense of who gets into trucking these days? How did you get into it, and who's doing it now?
Well, I got into it because when I moved back to Tennessee, there's relatively no work to do. I used to be a plumber, and I switched into trucking because it was constant work, steady pay. Right now, you see a lot more older people getting into trucking who've lost their jobs doing other industries, and they're looking for something to do. And a lot of them are coming into trucking thinking it's an easy job, but trucking is not an easy job. It's not for everybody. I would say 50% of the people who go to school or trucking school to learn to be a truck driver really don't know what this job involves. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. And if you have an insecure home life or something, you do not want to be a truck driver.
How many days in a month or a week would a driver like you or those you're around be on the road?
It depends. I mean, if I'm on a longer runs, I might be out 7, 8, 10 days, 2 weeks at a time. A lot of guys are out and back every night. They're on shorter runs, dedicated runs. A lot of people in the industry are out. Some companies, you're required to stay out 1 week to get 1 day off. So, I mean, it varies company to company and individual to individual. A lot of guys don't like to stay out over the road. I mean, they like to be home more often. But, if you want to stay steady out here and take the longer runs, if you're paid by the mile, a lot of guys tend to want the longer runs because they're getting paid by the mile.
It sounds lonely.
It can be that way, yeah. I mean, you have to have good family support, and your family has to know what you're doing, and you have to have a lot of trust about what you're doing. I mean, if you have a situation where you're a newlywed and you're just taking your first truck driving job, you're really going to probably have some problems.
And how's business these days? How do things look out there on your most recent run from Georgia, let's say?
Well, we're fairly steady right now, but I don't know. I think the industry's doing all right at the moment, but it's not doing like it did 5 years ago. I mean, a lot of the places right now that we normally go to are underwater, just been hit by tornadoes through Alabama and all that. I mean, we don't know when those customers will be back up, if they'll be back up. Trucking really does, there's a lot of problems with in the trucking is a lot of people don't realize when you have to go through a severe flood zone or you're stuck out here in the wintertime, and like, for instance, this winter, the big storms that came through the middle there, it slowed everything down, if not brought it to a crawl.
Well, the FCC is checking on down the line. I'm a little overweight and my logbook's way behind. But nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge all the scales all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're getting the view from the big rig today, talking about the trucker's life, American truckers and trucking as a barometer of the economy and the culture. Over the years, we've had so many great callers from the road. Today, we're turning to look at truckers themselves, their lives, their world. Noel Perry is with us, trucking economist with us today out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and transport fundamentals. From Rogersville, Tennessee, just in from an overnight run back from Georgia, Willie Ugly Tassier is with us. That's his nickname. He sticks with it. Company driver. He's our king of the road today. And with us right now from Green Valley, Missouri, is Todd Spencer, former independent trucker, now executive director of the OOIDA, Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association, former editor, frequent writer for the OOIDA's Landline magazine. I want to welcome him. Todd Spencer, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Tom. Glad to be part of the show.
Give us a sense of who's up there driving. How much training goes into, preparing a big rig driver for those great big loads and the big highway, Todd?
Well, Tom, truckers come from very, very diverse backgrounds. As has been mentioned previously, some approach this business from a career as a second or a third career. We have had members of our organization that have been medical professionals, medical doctors. So, you know, it's hard to tell exactly who will be behind the wheel of the wheel of any particular truck. But it's ironic that you should mention training, because, you know, this would stun most of America, but there's absolutely no training whatsoever required to get a license to drive a big truck and basically hit the road.
Hang on there. You mean these giant 18-wheelers, the great big ones we see out there? I mean, you certainly at least have to have some kind of truck driving license, right?
There is a special license that was created for drivers actually in the mid-'80s and actually fully implemented by about 1991, 1992. But the basic test that an entry-level driver would take really isn't much more rigorous than probably the driving test you took at 16 years old or thereabout somewhere, and it in no way, shape, or form actually is any kind of indicator that you would be able to operate one safely all over the country in the kinds of conditions that drivers deal with.
Now, that sounds pretty scary. On the other hand, I've seen huge big rigs being driven with unbelievable precision and expertness over the years, parked and maneuvered into places you'd never imagine they could go. What's the range of experience versus sort of raw new hands up there, Todd?
Well, actually, historically, this is an industry that was comprised principally of experienced drivers. Many of them came from agricultural backgrounds, construction backgrounds. These were the types of people that actually grew up with equipment.
Right.
But because of how the economy has changed recently, I mean, in recent years, the trends have gone the other way. So, I mean, you may encounter someone that's in their late 50s that has as little as 6 months experience. And, you know, realistically, being properly trained and getting experience and staying behind the wheel is one of the key, is the most critical issue in being safe on the highways.
It freaks
and
me out a little bit to think of them not really trained, but I guess people are learning every mile on the job. We hope and pray.
Well, you know, we somewhat euphemistically call that the school of crunch.
Oh,
it's certainly not the ideal way. It shouldn't be. Certainly should never be the industry norm. Training requirements for entry-level drivers has been one of the issues that has been sitting over at the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration for almost 20 years now. They keep telling us there will be a regulation. As you might imagine, there is pushback from the other side. Obviously, people that would employ drivers say, well, there's no real need for training because, you know, they can learn, we can train them. And, you know, of course, their concern is that if they actually were properly trained and adequately trained for the rigors of the job, they likely would expect to be paid more money. And you know, I think that's altogether correct. You know, at the same time I say that, there is broad consensus throughout the industry that truckers aren't paid nearly as much as they should be for what they do. And, you know, there are downside costs all across the board from that particular approach to drivers.
We'll talk about pay and much more here. Todd Spencer, Mr. Willie Ugly Tessier, Noel Perry. We've got a lot of callers here. Let's get to Ross in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Hi, Ross. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I might have a little thing or two about your previous caller there. I don't know exactly what side of the fence he's on. I would think, though, if you looked at all the information available, you'll find that trucking is a very regulated industry and also a very safe industry. But like aviation, when something does go wrong, it's newsworthy.
Yeah, yeah. It can be big and ugly. What have you been carrying lately, Ross?
I got a load of popsicles out of Wisconsin down here for Kentucky right now.
Okay.
A lot of what we haul, I got a little mom and pop outfit here going, Liz and Tony, out of Bowling Green, and we haul a lot of underwear. I don't know if you want a name brand, but underwear quite a bit. Printer paper, copier paper is going quite often. A little bit of everything, and as a buddy of mine once I've told me,
I'm on for about an hour to keep you on different subjects.
So, if you can look at it, if you can see it, it spent time on our truck.
Yeah,
you're either out in the middle of the desert or in the forest.
We're learning that right here. And what about demand for truckers these days? Do you have too many? Not enough? What do you see out there, Ross?
As I understand, I think it may have been on NPR. I heard a few weeks ago in the Carolinas down there. I want to say in the Piedmont Triad area, Charlotte, that area, I don't think they can keep enough drivers in the seats. They haven't got enough. That's kind of like a hub where they're at, centrally located. You got New York to the northeast, you got Chicago directly north, and, you know, Dallas, and they cannot get enough people in the seats.
Ross, I appreciate your call. Willie, Ugly Tessier, what are you seeing on that front? I'm seeing mixed reports here. Some reports in the news that, you know, there's a shortage of drivers, others saying plenty of drivers. What are you seeing on the highway, Willie?
Well, there's several ways you could look at that. I mean, like your previous caller also said there, where he says there's no training in the trucking industry. This is the most heavily regulated, deregulated occupation on the planet.
Okay.
We're out here, I mean, to do what I do, to haul hazmat, you go through endless training.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now, to get your basic CDL, yeah, there's not a heavy lot of training that goes into that. I mean, some places vary. Some trucking outfits train drivers themselves. They have other drivers ride with you for 3 weeks to, you know, several months. Training, some of it's inadequate. You learn to do this job, you learn by doing this job. You can't sit in a truck and tell somebody, turn right, turn left, shift the truck, and do that.
Right.
I mean, it's something you have to do, and you have to adapt to it, because if you can't learn to do this properly and you don't learn something new every day, you should not be doing this job.
Noel Perry, what is the job market for truckers these days? Is it someplace where people who can't find jobs in other areas might consider? What's the size of the demand there?
Well, in the in an upturn like this, the demand is between 400,000 and 600,000 a year. And we know from history that the industry always falls behind. So this is about
four to 600,000. What, new hires in the trucking industry every year?
Well, if it's if there are 2.4 million drivers and 30% turnover, which is a conservative number, multiply that out and you get a number between 400,000 and 600,000.
30% turnover. That sounds very, very high. What's that about?
It's hard work. 17% of jobs in the whole country turn over, but this is one of the most difficult jobs. You're away from home a lot. It is very long hours, and the turnover in the trucking industry is very, very high. For a long-haul trucker, if you include people moving from fleet to fleet looking for better pay or better conditions, turnover is frequently over 100% a year.
I'm looking here at starting pay of something like $25,000. Median pay reported here for all truck drivers, regardless of experience, is $38,000. Here's a report that we've got somebody here calling it slave wages. And you may know Michael Belzer at Wayne State University.
Yeah, I know.
His book, Sweatshops on Wheels. Do you look at it that way?
I look at it as a market. It is has very easy entry and exit. And apparently there's enough people who are willing to work under these conditions for, let's say, $40,000 to fill the trucks. It's not quite enough right now. We have a shortage. But over time, the seats get filled.
Todd Spencer, what's that? If you join us here, what's that turnover about? Is it just sheerly the difficulty of the work, the being away, the long hours? What is it, Todd?
It is all of those. Obviously, there are tremendous sacrifices that certainly drivers make. It's not the least bit uncommon for new drivers for truckload carriers to be expected to be away from home 3 weeks at a time, or, and certainly sometimes longer. Ironically, the $38,000 to $40,000 a year that you can expect to earn, that's all per mile compensation. For the most part, drivers are only compensated for driving lots and lots of miles. And oftentimes, drivers end up giving anywhere from 30 to 40 hours every week on loading and unloading docks. And this is time that's absolutely not compensated. There are many, many undesirable or challenging aspects of the job. And, would a driver do that for twice that much, that amount of money, which many truckload carrier executives believes drivers ought to be making $75,000 or $80,000. Certainly they should. They would. More would. They would maybe expect to be off more. But it would make it for a much more desirable occupation where drivers, your better drivers, came and stayed. You mentioned the figure of 100% driver turnover. Actually, the figures get up to 150% for some of the biggest truckload carriers out there, kind of the success stories of deregulation. And to kind of further illustrate my point, many of these are new people, brand new people pulled in off the street. The 500,000 new drivers every year, that's how many currently come in every year now. And most of those people wash out completely. They don't just go from company to company. So you always have 20, maybe 25% that are in this learning curve as they go down the road. Right now, trucking has absolutely never been safer. Coming off historic, impressive gains in highway safety, the principal reason for that is because as the economy was going south, these companies quit hiring. They cut back their recruiting departments. They didn't have to hire and put new people down on the road. And we've seen tremendous improvements in safety because they quit doing that.
Not that same turnover, not all those new drivers on the highway. This is a really interesting picture. Let me get a call from Route 1 near New London, Connecticut. Dave is calling. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom. Yeah, I've been driving for 38 years.
Wow.
And I've seen tremendous change in the industry. I've driven grocery, tanker, freight, over the road, local, regional, and when I came in, it was a regulated industry, and any little mom and pop freight company could compete with the big giants, like Roadway,
yep,
and Yellow, and that's certainly not the case anymore. And when they deregulated the industry, it just decimated, you know, the standard of living for drivers, you know, from my perspective as a union driver.
So what about now? What about now with the economy kind of coming back, Dave? Do you see conditions getting better, wages getting better?
I would say that we're starting to see some signs, you know, of it getting better. But, you know, it certainly is not there yet in the New England area. But, Tom, one thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, the unionized sector has shrunk so dramatically. There used to be 500,000 drivers and warehouse workers covered by the National Master Freight Agreement and the Teamsters.
Yeah.
And now it's much less than that. And, you know, deregulation was a big cause of that. But one thing we're trying to do in the Teamsters, and this might be something your show might want to consider in the future, is we have an election coming up. And we've got a woman, Sandy Pope, who's running for general president against Jim Hoffa. And Sandy has come up through the ranks. She was a steel hauler out in Ohio. She was a freight driver. She was an organizer for the union, and now she's the principal officer of a local union in New York City. And she's real gutsy. She's got a lot of moxie. And as opposed to Jim Hoffa, who never really worked as a rank-and-file driver, warehouse worker, you know, she's come up through the ranks, and she's got a real shot and pulling an upset in this union and turning things around for us in this union and the Teamsters. And if that happens, that's going to have an impact on all drivers, union and non-union, because if we can improve our standards in the unionized sector, that's going to rub off to all the drivers out there. So I hope you'll consider having a show dedicated to that issue, Tom. It'd be a great opportunity for other people to hear about it.
Dave, we got it, and we hear your 38 years experience there. We hear you carrying the torch there. Those are some names: Sandy Pope, Gutsy Moxie, you say, and Jim Hoffa. That is, of course, a big name in labor as well. Todd, how about it? What portion of truck drivers today unionized? How small has it become? Teamsters used to be so big.
Oh, actually, probably less than 10%, and even that may be generous.
Mm-hmm.
As the previous caller said, basically, deregulation did simply destroy any representation that Teamsters would have provided. But, you know, to kind of make sure we clarify what deregulation and what regulation is, they deregulated all of the economics in trucking, and at the same time, they've probably increased the safety regulation or safety burden by a factor of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, truckers, especially small truckers, are virtually being buried with regulations out of Washington. And many of those regulations, if not most, are coming at the behest of the largest trucking companies. I mean, they actually see a competitive advantage to themselves by basically supporting regulations and costs for their small business competitors.
Todd Spencer, hold it right there if you would. We've got to take a short break. Willie, Ugly Tessier in Rogersville, Tennessee. Please stand by. And Noel Perry, it's great to have all of you with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Now I'm in a truck stop somewhere on the Arkansas line. They got all the big trucks here, boy. You ought to hear the big diesels whine. No, little guy, your daddy won't be home for a while. It's gonna be another couple weeks and another couple thousand miles.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're getting the view from the big rig today, talking about the trucker's life, American truckers, and trucking as a barometer of the economy and the culture. Trucker Willie Ugly Tessier is with us from Rogersville, Tennessee, just in from an overnight run out of Georgia. Happy to have him with us today. Noel Perry is with us with Transport Fundamentals, one of just a couple of trucking economists in the country, and a prominent one at that, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And Todd Spencer is with us, former independent trucker, now executive director of the OOIDA, Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association, joining us from Green Valley, Missouri today. Truckers, join us. What do you see out there? Is the economy coming back? Is the country okay? We've had so many good trucker listeners over the years. We thought it's about time to give truckers an hour. And it's not all what you'd expect here online. Trucker K, who's out there driving, has shipped in a trucker's poem for us. So this is from K, and it's not all men out there these days. About her work and her truck, Here's a poem, a little bit of it. Driving you, I fly, my bones vibrating with your deep and constant hum, reverberating through me like monks chanting in a cave. You calm me, you pacify me, you consume my wild nature. In you, I feel fulfilled. Merging with you, I can relax in your power. I can shift you tenderly when the timing is right. Your gears just fall into place. Little trucker poetry from Kay out there on the highway today. Noel, Willie, Todd, standby. Jason in Spokane, Washington, calling in. Hi, Jason. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hey, I work for a small LTL freight carrier on the eastern side of Washington State. We deliver side-by-side with parcel carriers, you know, big ones, UPS, FedEx,
yeah.
As well as some long-haul carriers. On our end, we haven't really seen wages keep up with the economy, largely, again, because of course, fuel prices are really affecting the whole industry,
yeah.
Especially when freight margins can be so small for most freight carriers. Most carriers have a operating ratio, let's say, if they're doing a 94% operating ratio, it means they're making 6 cents out of every dollar that it costs them to exist.
Jason, what is 94% operating ratio? What does that mean for a layman? I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Sure, that would mean for every dollar that it takes the company to exist, 94 cents of that is going just to cover the wages, cover the fleet,
sure.
That sort of thing. So
okay.
We're on such a small margin to actually create income and make money for everybody.
Yep.
The fuel costs just really eat into you. But because of the freight, I get to deal with everybody that's an end carrier. I'll go into town and I'll just ask people, hey, how's business? How are you guys doing? And the general consensus I'm getting is, of course, smaller towns on the eastern side of the state here, is that business has been picking up for the summer, but nobody really expects that to last because the government can't keep paying money in and, to float the economy. They don't see the stability there in the long term.
Jason, I appreciate your call from Spokane. Willie Tessier, what are you seeing out there? When you're picking up, when you're dropping off, if you look down those roads either side of the highway, you must know that territory as well. How's the economy look to you when you really get real about it?
Well, when you're running up and down the road, I mean, you can tell when you're going down the road what's going on, depending on whether it's a regular work day, a regular work week. I would say that right at this point of the year, I mean, this is generally a busy time of year for the trucking industry. But then again, if you look at what's going on nationwide with the weather and everything, I mean, it's directly related to what's being moved, what's not. As far as the economy, disasters, so to speak, are good for the trucking industry because, you know, the trucking industry hauls all the lumber, all the building materials, the repair stuff. But once things start to even out, I mean, it'll slope back down. Now, truckload carriers versus different occupations, I mean, trucking is very up and down during the year now. You hear different reports where the industry's moving more tons per mile, and it's looking better and better and better. But I mean, it's directly related to the economy.
What about traffic you see out there on the highway? Does it look like Americans generally are sort of loosening up, going on family vacations, getting out on the road?
No, I see a lot reduction of the weekend and holiday traffic. There's a large reduction lately. I would say due to the economy, people aren't traveling like they used to. This time of year, I mean, kids are still in school, but I mean, I don't see near the amount of traffic in out here that you did years ago. As far as trucking goes, you can tell when there's problems going on, because if you don't see a lot of trucks out here, there's a lot of freight that is not being moved. That's a direct indicator that the economy is in trouble.
And what's it mean off the highway? You know, take us a mile down any of those roads that you're flying by and getting down yourself. What do you see out there?
I see abandoned buildings everywhere, businesses closed up, small businesses throughout this nation. Everywhere I've gone in the last year, there are empty warehouses, empty commercial buildings, small businesses closed up, out of business. Anywhere in the United States you go right now, you're going to see empty buildings. You're going to see empty storefronts, out of business, closed, gone.
Families, Willie, kids, how are they doing?
Well, you know, everybody's struggling. I mean, it's not the average person in this country is not the $150,000, $200,000 a year family. Out here in the real world, that you know, I ask any truck driver, you're dealing with the working person in this country, I would say, averages somewhere between 23 and 60,000 is the actual middle working class.
Mm.
It's not the
sure.
large city, big
mm-hmm.
money.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are hurting. I mean, everywhere you go, you'll find people that are having trouble paying their bills, kids that aren't getting fed regularly, you know, and you see it all when you're out here.
What about you when you're on the road? Are you heading into the restaurant for a big meal at the truck stop, or I don't know, how do you budget?
I have to. Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize when you're driving a truck. I mean, you have two households. You have your truck, your household when you're at work, and you're supporting your household at home. And when you have to budget between your bills at home, if you're having trouble there at home paying your bills, you're out here on the road. I mean, the price of food and everything keeps going up and up and up everywhere you go. I mean, years ago you'd do pretty good for, you know, running, if you're just running, let's say, a 5-day week, you could get by on $100 out here. $100 going 3 days out here. I mean, the price of food, a hamburger or whatever. When you go to a lot of places out here in a truck, first of all, you can't go to a lot of places in a truck. You're not allowed
on
the
property.
Can't
pull in. Yep.
And when you can get to a place, I mean, the price of the food is jacked up a little bit there, and it just keeps going up. So you're caught in kind of a middle area. I mean, you have to be able to budget yourself.
So do you do your own cooking on a hot plate or something up in the cab?
They have a variety. I mean, a lot of guys have microwaves now. I have a cooler. I have several 12-volt appliance things that, you know, you can
yeah.
heat food.
Mm-hmm.
My wife will make food, and I'll take it with me and heat it up as I go. Or you can go into a truck stop and use their microwave. But, I mean, it's rough. I mean, you just can't come out here and sit down in a restaurant three times a day to eat. It costs you $60 a day.
And it must be hard to stay healthy all that time in the seat. You're not moving. You know, the word today is all about keep moving, keep exercising. Hard to do that when you got your foot on the accelerator and the brake.
Oh, it's absolutely. And there's a lot of people out in this industry right now that, I mean, health is a big issue because you are, like I say, you have to run to make money. And when you're going down the road, I mean, if you only have an X amount of time to stop to grab you something fast to eat, I mean, you're going to eat and you're going to sit there. And a lot of people end up overweight. And in this particular industry, it has to do with you're budgeting your time as well as where what you can afford and what you can't, where you can and cannot stop. Now, when you stop for the night, I mean, you go in and eat, what are you going to do? You got to take a 10-hour break. You're going to eat a big meal and you're going to go back here and lay down. You are going to put some weight on.
10-hour break, because that's the regulation.
Yeah, yeah. It's the 10-hour rule for sleeper berth. You know, there's a lot of debate goes on about the hours of service and all that. And there's a lot of stress to this job, which adds to health problems as well.
And, Willie, what about, I know from our own experience, so many truckers listening to On Point around the country, you must tune into a lot of radio, satellite radio, as you go. What's your take on the tone of the country these days with all that time to listen and tune in?
Well, I listen to a lot of radio. I'm a channel flipper by nature.
Sure.
But generally, people are upset. They're tired. They're tired of hearing promises that aren't being kept. You go to one radio program, a guy's yelling about the right, the left, the center, the liberal, the progressive, the Democrat, the Republican.
Yeah.
It's a 24-hour-a-day barrage of people screaming about what's wrong and how bad we as Americans are. You know, it's not, the people are just depressed. Everywhere you go, you can feel like a sense of anxiety or whatever. I mean, people do not know what's going to happen with this economy. I personally think our economy is going to tank.
Really, in spite of we're being told there's an upturn here, upturn there, you're not buying it?
No. I mean, like I say, you go out here in the country and you see all these businesses out of business, all the small people being put out of business by big companies. You know, and granted that they are in the business to make money, but everywhere you go, there's people out of work. There's people standing around that can't find jobs, and then you have different levels of that. I mean, everybody's upset. They're tired of being a 24-hour-a-day media blitz of politicians. Mm. At one point, it used to be you could go through the channels, and they talk about some farmer in the Midwest who saved somebody from a natural disaster.
Sure.
Saved them there. You don't hear that now. You hear them talking about what the president did or what's going on overseas, or the Democrats are yelling about who they blame for it. The Republicans blame the Democrats. That's all you hear 24/7. I think it's depressing people.
You may be right. You may just be right. Trying to build a little wall against some of that right here. Let me get a call from Nashville, Tennessee. Sorry, Willie. Ariana, you're on the air, Ariana.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, what's up?
I was hearing a lot of men, and I am a female truck driver, and I just thought I would add a little female point of view.
Well, I'm great. I'm really glad to hear from you, Ariana. Is it uncommon to be a female truck driver these days or not?
You see a lot more women on the road, definitely. If you really want a job with benefits and steady pay, I used to actually work in a spa.
Okay.
And the work was kind of unsteady, and there was no health care. And I kind of just did trucking on a whim, and I learned really fast how much hard work goes into it.
What do you drive, Ariana?
I now actually drive local for a trucking company that I also deliver, but I was over the road for 3 years, and it is definitely hard.
What's hard about it? Some people might say, well, you're just driving. What's the big deal? But on the other hand, it's not that simple. What's hard about it?
It's really long hours. It's a lot of work, especially as a woman. I'm not trying to take anything away from any of the guys on the road at all.
Yep.
Because it's hard work for us all. But really, as a woman, you deal with so much prejudice. Like, often when I would just drive in to fuel or to park for the night at a truck stop, some guy would just come out of his truck and start thinking you didn't even know how to park, or, you know, you hadn't even, there's just a lot of prejudice. Or you'll deliver at a warehouse and people actually come out and watch to see if you can park, if you can back the truck.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a whole other twist to it, but there are a lot more women on the road, and I think it's a direct result of health care and benefits and needing steady pay. And a lot of guys have a support system at home,
mm-hmm.
People to take care, a wife or something to help them with taking care of their life at
home. Back them up, yep.
That's not really always the case a lot of times for women.
I can well imagine that. Ariana, I wish we had a whole hour to talk. Our time's growing short here, but I'm really grateful for your call. Be safe there. Thanks for calling in. Noah Perry, I want to ask you about, I'm looking at headlines here saying there's been talk for a long time about Mexican trucks being permitted into the U.S., Mexican drivers and trucks into the U.S. Where does that stand?
Well, it's been required by law for since we had NAFTA, but it's been held up by objections about safety. And there's finally been a deal cut to begin allowing them on a trial basis. And what that means is that a Mexican driver can deliver a Mexican load anywhere in the United States and pick up a Mexican load to go back, or a U.S. driver could do the same. It's the way we work with Canada. So we're in the transition period from it being forbidden to where it will become a normal thing. It accounts, by the way, for about 1% of total U.S. freight.
Well, you mean it could account for that if it's once it's underway?
Yes. Mexican freight crossing the border to Mexico is about 1% of the total.
Todd Spencer, it's supposed to be a two-way thing where Mexican drivers and their loads could come up here, U.S. drivers and their loads could head straight down into Mexico and destinations there. Do you think that's how it'll work, Todd?
Well, actually, Tom, I think, you know, that would be laughable were it not so absolutely scary. And I think it's curious that Noel used the word a deal cut, because realistically, the safety systems, the security systems in Mexico, they've never existed. To be generous, you could say they were in their infancy.
So you're saying U.S. drivers won't go into Mexico, but Mexican drivers will come to the U.S. once this opens up?
No, there wouldn't be many U.S. drivers in their right mind that would ever possibly venture past the border. And certainly there will be Mexican drivers that will come up here. The the pushers of this are the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the agricultural industry, the same very, very large economic interest that if they could export their jobs, they certainly would. So since they can't export these, they import the labor. And again, the whole idea is to simply push driver costs, dollar costs, down to the absolute rock bottom. And
1% you know, of U.S. freight doesn't sound like that much, though, if that's right, what Noel's saying.
Well, see, the thing is, the myth about that is once these drivers cross the border, there's no reason to think for a second that they would ever go back to Mexico. And certainly the companies that want to see this happen have no intentions of sending them back there either. They see this as an economic bonanza for them.
Well, there's always arm wrestling going on. That sounds like a big one right there. It's been really interesting today, and I'm grateful to all three of you for being with us. A little hour to give back to truckers who have given a lot to us over the years. I really appreciate the perspective. Noel Perry at Transport Fundamentals in Harrisburg. Thank you so much for joining us, Noel.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Todd Spencer in Green Valley, Missouri. Thanks so much, Todd. And Willie, ugly, not so ugly to us, to Sear. Thank you, Willie, for being with us.
No problem, man. Anytime.
Truckers all over the country, keep listening, and thanks for being with us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
I need to know, are we almost there? Are we almost there?